I am not taking it for granted that everyone here is excited about the subject of this church camp, angels. Or that every last one of you is eagerly anticipating the four speeches on the theme of the ministry of angels. By the way, when I refer to angels, I'm speaking of the unfallen, good, holy angels, and only in passing will I mention the fallen angels or the demons. Now, part of the reason for any possible indifference or discomfort or wariness regarding angels may arise from false teaching and sinful practice regarding angels. Roman Catholicism, both officially or unofficially, prays to angels and worships angels. You've come across, no doubt, the view that there are guardian angels, one angel for each believer. We'll address that, Lord willing, later in the camp. And the Church of Rome also believes, though largely unofficially, in an elaborate hierarchy of angels. And I'm going to be referring to this man several times through the course of these speeches, Dionysius the Areopagite, one of Paul's converts in Acts 17 at Athens. And he wrote a book, or rather a forger wrote a book in his name called The Celestial Hierarchy in the early Middle Ages, with all sorts of angel speculation. And so angels, in your mind, may be associated with idolatry and superstition. That's not where I'm going. Mormonism has a large role for angels. Joseph Smith, a lead figure in that cult, saw angels in connection with the giving of the Book of Mormon, particularly the angel Moroni. In Mormonism, an angel is a human being in another form, either a former human being or someone who is yet to be born. And so the angel Michael, according to Mormonism, is Adam. And Noah became the angel Gabriel. And the form of angel teaching I'll be giving is not cultic. Has anyone here heard of the Baha'is? The Baha'is also believe that angels are former people. But former people who have been endowed with spiritual characteristics through the love of God. So if you really love God, you change into an angel. Islam has angels and a sort of lesser angel called the jinn, J-I-N-N, from which we get the word genie, Aladdin's lamp. They have many named angels too. But what I'm teaching has nothing to do with paganism. And then, of course, coming a bit nearer to home, at least in terms of your personal experiences with others, Pentecostalism and charismaticism. Tongue speaking is by them often referred to as speaking with an angelic language. And they are replete with stories of angel visitations today. There are no doubt charismatics in Tasmania who will tell you, if you're willing to listen, that they have seen angels or heard angels. And that isn't unique to them. It is not saying too much to claim that most professing Christians today, the world over, accept or are open to angelic visions or angelic auditions when you hear them. Roman Catholicism, Anabaptism, Methodists, Anglicans, including perhaps even a majority of people who call themselves Presbyterian or Reformed, nominally, will give you credence if you were to say, this morning while I was shaving, an angel spoke with me, or while in the car, I saw an angel by the side of the road. Seriously. But I'm not going charismatic, as you no doubt know. Anyone here read or heard of Frank Peretti? A novelist. He's a New York Times best-selling author of Christian fiction, largely involving angels. There are territorial spirits, exorcisms, especially in his most famous book, This Present Darkness. He has sold over 15 million copies, and intriguingly, he held ministry credentials with the Assemblies of God, a big charismatic denomination. But what you're going to hear this weekend is not speculative. It is not a form of science fiction without any science. And finally, in this connection, there is the New Age fascination with angels. And not only can people see angels, but sometimes angels take the form of animals, especially swans. Do you have swans in Tasmania? You do?
Black ones.
A black swan. Does the Queen own the swans in Tasmania? They're demon angels. Okay. Because in the UK, she's supposed to own the swans, whatever that means. Okay. In the New Age system, or systems, you often are said to hear angels, especially in the form of whispering. And not only can people see and hear angels, but they can even smell angels because they leave a fragrant scent. Rose or jasmine or typically flowers. And does anyone know what the favorite calling cards of New Age angels are? What do they leave behind? You're getting close with the swan. They leave behind feathers, and the color of the feather is usually white. White. And you can attract angels by the color of your clothes. Who here is wearing pink? You're in pink. Well, guardian angels are partial to pink. Sapphire blue is the favorite color of healing angels. Seraphs like crimson. Cherubs are drawn to blue. And the angel Gabriel, his favorite colors are tans and browns and dark greens. Sort of military fatigues. And if you want a special relationship with the Archangel Michael, wear gold, or deep green, or vivid blue. But I want you to be assured that our doctrine of angels is not effeminate, touchy-feely goofiness. You didn't want that this week. I'm not going to be teaching you 57 ways to get in touch with your guardian angel. At the other end of the extreme, there are other groups who deny the existence of angels and mock all mention to them. Atheists, skeptics, and modernists, in this regard, are like a group mentioned in the Bible who denied the existence of angels, the Sadducees. And so is believing and confessing angels a sort of intellectual suicide? No way. God's word is very clear on it. So what about Scripture's references to angels? Would you be surprised if I told you that there are over 280 references in the Authorized Version or King James Version of the Bible that contain the word angel or angels or the phrase the angel of the Lord as pertaining to heavenly messengers? Over 280 of them. And by the way, I'm not now dealing with the identity of the angel of the Lord, whether it's Christ or a created angel. And of these 280 plus references to the word angel in the Bible, most of them are actually in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. And in fact, all of the New Testament writers refer to angels, every last one of them, under various terminology. And for the Bible's witness to angels, we're not only speaking of its 280 plus references to that particular word for the heavenly messengers, but now add to this the references to cherubs, about 65 times, seraphs, the beasts or living creatures, the chariots, the fiery chariots, principalities and powers, thrones, dominions and authorities, an archangel, Gabriel, Michael, sometimes they're called the sons of God, or the sons of the mighty, or spirits, or saints, or holy ones, or even watchers, or also in group form, the heavenly host of the Lord of hosts, who is the Lord of Sabaoth. And all of this is beside Scripture's testimony to the fallen angels, the devils and demons, led by their own principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this present age, under the headship of Satan, or the devil, or Lucifer, who is also called Apollyon, or Abaddon, or Beelzebub, or Belial, or that old serpent, and the dragon. He is the god of this world, and the prince of this world, and the prince of the power of the air, the accuser of the brethren, and the father of lies, the tempter, the enemy, and the wicked one. There's more there than we would realize. So it is that the confessions speak of the angels and of the Westminster standards, the Westminster Confession, the larger catechism and the shorter catechism. The one which speaks most regarding angels is the Westminster larger catechism, particularly in the teens. Larger Catechism 12, 13, 16, 19, and a few others. In the Continental Reformed tradition, it's especially Belgic Confession Article 12, which article is entitled The Creation, but most of it deals with angels. So where did these angels come from? Well, both the holy angels and those who later fell into sin were created by the triune God. Psalm 104 verse 4 states, God maketh his angels spirits. And Psalm 148, which we sang, calls the angels to praise him. Quote, praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his host. And then a few verses later it says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. All of the angels were created by the triune God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, referring to ranks of angels. All things were created by him and for him, so that in all things, including the creation of the angels, Christ might have the preeminence. And if you ask, when did the triune God, through Christ, create the angels? First of all, we respond, in the first 6 days, obviously. Augustine, in the early church, maintained it was the first day, because when God commanded, "Let there be light," he, Augustine, so associated light with angels that he included in the creation of the light the angels. So Augustine would say the first day. I'm inclined to agree with him on the first day, but for different reason. The Bible begins, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And if the heaven there refers to the third heaven where God dwells, then presumably angels, chief inhabitants of heaven, were then created. That's one argument. And secondly, there's Job 38, verse 7, in its context. We read it. It speaks of God out with a measuring line, laying the foundation of the earth and its cornerstone, in verses 4 through 6. Verse 7 adding, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The sons of God referring to angels. "And when the foundation of the earth was laid," that best fits in my mind with the first day. But I'm not dogmatic on that. I don't even think it's that important. But on whatever day, the sixth, the angels were created by the triune God through Jesus Christ, we know that the angels are not eternal, that they are not ideas, holy ideas, they're not mythical, and they are not men or babies who have died and have been transformed by love into angels. So what are angels? Angels are spirits. To quote Psalm 104 again, "God maketh his angels spirits." And as spirits, the angels are incorporeal, which simply means they do not have bodies with flesh and blood and bones. As Jesus said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones," in connection with his own resurrected body. To us in this world, these angel spirits are invisible. You can't see them. Though occasionally, in Bible times, they were seen. And either they would appear as men, as a form of angelic accommodation adopted for our understanding, or else they would appear as themselves. And when they would appear typically, though not always, in a certain color, if it is classified as a color, white. And any other physical features on these spirits? Wings. Wings. Angels then are spirits, but superhuman spirits. God made man, Psalm 8 says, a little lower than the angels. Angels are frequently called mighty. Psalm 103 says they excel in strength, and they are greater in might and power than we are. 2 Peter chapter 2. They even have a greater facility of speech than we do, and excel in eloquence, because Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, and you know how it goes. The angels can and do fly. Daniel 9 even refers to one flying swiftly. And yet the funny thing is that though the Bible says they fly and have wings, even when they do fly, apparently their wings never move. And when people on earth meet angels in the Bible, there are at least two major responses. The first one is fear. People are terrified when angels appear to them, and therefore the first words that angels typically speak to human beings are, fear not. And related to that, there's a temptation to worship them, especially in the book of Revelation. In this world, there are some things which have served or do serve in the hearts of mankind as a sort of angel substitute. Mythical creatures. Pixies or fairies. You know what they are? Leprechauns. From another part of the world. Do you have leprechauns in Tassie? Anybody here seen one? In Ireland, we call them the little people. Then there are the gods and goddesses of, for instance, the ancient Greeks or Romans or Norsemen. One of them especially, the god Mercury, who was the messenger of the gods, and on his feet were little wings, as you may see in art especially. For some people, the nearest they will ever get to believing in angels this side of death are Superman and Spider-Man. The rampant evolutionary humanist of the 21st century, that joke passed me by, I don't understand that one, won't believe in angels and won't believe in God, but spends, through their governments, literally billions on the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Little green man. Can't believe in what God says in the Bible about angels, but we're sure there's intelligent life out there. And all they need to do is not look with their telescopes, just have to look into the Bible, but they don't want to know. And all of these other angel substitutes have special powers and superhuman forms of movement, somewhat like the angels. These angels, then, are superhuman spirits, yet finite. Angels are not omnipresent. They're not everywhere. That's why, in part, they have wings. Wings speak of a need to move. And you don't need to move if you're everywhere present in the first place. And Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel 10 refer to the movements of Gabriel and Michael in their spiritual warfare. They're not omnipresent, everywhere present. They're not omnipotent or omnipotent. They're not all-powerful. The angel Michael said to the devil, not I rebuke thee, but the Lord rebuke thee. Jude 9. Because all of the angels take their marching orders from the Almighty. They're not omnipresent, they're not omnipotent, and they're not omniscient, which big word simply means they don't know everything. Finish this sentence for me. The angels of heaven do not know the day or hour of Christ's return. The angels desire to look into and learn about, since they don't know everything, the riches of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1. The angels are not everywhere present, not all powerful, not all knowing, because they are creatures, not the Creator. And as created, they are finite, limited. Angels, these superhuman yet finite spirits, are without sexual differentiation and cannot reproduce. The angels of heaven, said the Lord Jesus, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Matthew 22. Since angels don't marry, they don't court, they don't get engaged, and they do not do any of these things because they do not experience sexual attraction, they cannot have intercourse, and so the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, does not pertain to them. By the way, this rules out the mythological view, you've probably heard it, that the angels got married and copulated with women before the flood, and this led to the increase of wickedness and God's need to deluge the earth. The sons of God there, who married the daughters of men, are the boys of the church and the women of the world. Because as Jesus said, angels neither marry nor are given in marriage. And the reason for this is that angels are neither male nor female. And yet, if they do appear on earth in the Bible, they always appear as men, never children, never women, and they're called the sons of God and not the daughters of God. But in this, it's somewhat like God himself or the three persons of the Trinity. God is referred to as He, or Father, or Son, and never she, yet God is not a male. Male is something that pertains not to God or angels, but human beings. And the reason why angels are referred to as men, or come in the form of men, is to portray the idea of leadership, authority, or power. And so it is that angels do not have families as we know them. There is no reproduction. There are no angel children, no angel leps, or no angel links. No angel sons, no angel daughters, no angel fathers, no angel mothers, no angel uncles or aunts, or nephews, or nieces. So if angels were to have a camp, its makeup would be very different from what I see in front of me. And therefore, too, nationalities are unknown among angels. And that's part of the reason why the angels have a special interest in the mystery of the union of Jews and Gentiles in the one church of Jesus Christ, because they do not know anything like that among themselves. And Ephesians 3 verse 10 says that God's purpose in saving a church of Jews and Gentiles is to manifest His manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And since all angels were created in the first week, there isn't a single angel who is older or younger than others. All angels, unlike us, have the same age, about 6,000 years old. Same age. And unlike humans, the number of angels is fixed. It doesn't increase through birth, it doesn't decrease through death. And even the fall of the angels did not bring physical death to those angels, because they don't have bodies, since they are spirits, and therefore they can't die physically. So it is that for angels, then, There are no engagements and no marriages, Lauren. And there are no births and there are no funerals, though I will say there will be angels present. I'm not referring to some of you here. The angels will be there at that wedding. You just won't see them. And being without gender or marriage themselves, the angels are also fascinated in the godly relationships between Christian husbands and wives and their roles in worship, according to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10, because that's unknown to them. All of the angels, these superhuman but finite spirits without sexual differentiation, all of the angels were created originally holy and sinless. God made all things very good, including men and angels. Genesis 1:31. Angels, like Adam and Eve, were created fallible. Man fell, and therefore the whole human race, represented by Adam, the covenant head, fell into sin and became totally depraved. Some of the angels fell, and the ones who fell became totally depraved. Other angels did not fall and did not become totally depraved, but remained totally righteous. And that because they were eternally elected. 1 Timothy 5 verse 21. And now the angels cannot fall and cannot sin, and in that regard are like the glorified men and women in heaven. So how many angels are there? How many did God create? Any guesses? Hundreds? Thousands? Millions? Sorry? A host. And then how many is in a host? What does the Bible say? According to Deuteronomy 33 verse 2, there were 10,000s of them at Mount Sinai. What did the Lord Jesus say at his arrest? I could ask my Father, and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels. And how many are in a legion? Well, it started off about a bit more than 6,000. And then when your soldiers would die and you had 5,000, you'd still call that a legion, or 4,000, and that would, and 3,000, then you need to bring a few men in. So a legion, let's say, for simplicity of multiplication, say 5,000. So Jesus said, I could get 12 legions, I could get 60,000 angels at the drop of a word. More than 12 legions. But at the ascension of Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 5 verse 11, he is worshipped by a vaster number of angels, 10,000 times 10,000, which is 100 million. And then the text adds, and thousands of thousands. And on the judgment day, when the Antichrist or beast is judged, and the saints are vindicated and rewarded, enormous numbers of angels minister unto the Ancients of Days, and we read of thousands, thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. Hundreds of millions of angels. And today, all who believe in Jesus Christ worship God with an innumerable company of angels. Hebrews 12:22. Innumerable there meaning myriads. And the purpose of God in part with this immensely large number of angels is to add to the immense, to the awesomeness of the events that I've just mentioned, Christ's ascension, the final judgment, and to indicate something of the glory of Almighty God, that he has hundreds of angels bowing down before him. He created them and governs them, and they serve Him alone. And then too, there's also the vast number of the fallen angels. How many possessed the Gadarene demoniac? We are legion. That man wasn't possessed simply by 7 demons like Mary Magdalene. He had about 5,000 demons in him. According to Revelation 12 verse 4, the devil led some 1/3 of the created angels into sin, indicating 2/3 standing. And that would suggest a ratio between good and bad angels of 2 to 1. So those who worship the Lord and human beings were in a minority, but with the angels, it's reversed. What then about classifying and ranking angels? The Bible speaks of various types of angels. There are seraphs. And the seraphs are spoken of in only one place in the Bible, namely Isaiah chapter 6. The call of Isaiah. The quiz? You got a hint there? Then we have the cherubs, spoken of in many places. And then the very mysterious living creatures who have some of the qualities of cherubs and some of the qualities of seraphs. The angels have various ranks. And though Peter refers to them in one place, the apostle who most speaks of the angelic ranks is the apostle Paul. Principalities and powers. Thrones, dominions, and authorities. And the only person who knows how these various ranks are related is Dionysius the Areopagite. He can tell you. Read his celestial hierarchy and you will be mystified and none the wiser. But we're not into speculation. And of course, there is only one archangel who is specifically named Michael, Jude 9. And as an archangel, he's obviously over the other angels, and one would assume an archangel is above a principality and power and throne and dominion. I wouldn't be 100% sure, but presumably. And the angel Gabriel may also be an archangel. And you could give a speech about that too. So here's the idea then. God, who created their angels, created their natures, what they are, created them in vast numbers for various tasks. We'll look at that later in the weekend. And He created them in various ranks. And if you say, why did God do this? Why did He rank and order and classify the angels? It reflects who God is. He is a God of order, as every Presbyterian knows. And just as God gives various positions and callings to mankind, He gives certain ranks and functions to the angels. And when God refers to His angels as a company, He calls them, there's a certain word for a group of monkeys and a group of seals, and the word, the collective noun for angels is, Leonie? Hosts. A host. And a host is an army, which indicates the angels fight. And in one place, God speaks about His redeemed people and His holy angels in one body, and He calls them His whole family in heaven and earth. So angels don't have families as we know them, yet we are part of their family. Ephesians 3 verse 10. Now that's me through for this morning, apart from 2 brief points. I want to leave you with 2 things to think about. And the first one is the blessed truth that there are more of us here than you can see. We have unregistered campers this week. And because the angels are always with believers. Always. And the second question, I want it more to linger in your minds too, is the crucial one, the big one that encompasses really all of what we want to consider about angels. How do angels help us? Objectively, how do they help us? We're going to look at that in the three lectures. And subjectively, and this is a slightly harder, though related question, how does knowing about angels help you in your Christian life? If, for instance, the Bible didn't mention angels, and God created the world without angels, and there were no angels to announce the resurrection of Christ, what difference would it make to your life as a Christian? Or, to put it positively, how does knowing these things, thinking about these things, help you to follow the Lord? Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou would enrich us through the 66 books of the Holy Bible and bless us at this camp in our fellowship and communion with thee and with one another. Bless us, Lord, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.